Good evening. I start off by thanking God for all of us and His grace that He's given us to be here tonight. Amen. So, as we've read this scripture, we've started the series looking at the apostles being together, performing many miracles, and meeting together, God being amongst them, and confirming, revealing Himself to all that were amongst them. I thought it was good to start with a scripture. I'm going to read something from John 15, 19 to 20. This is Jesus talking to the disciples. He says, "If you were of the world, it would love you as its own. Instead, the world hates you because you are not of the world, because I have chosen you out of the world. Remember the word that I spoke to you. No servant is greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you as well. If they kept my word, they will keep yours as well." This is John 15, 19 to 20. Our Lord Jesus called us to be heirs together with Him in God's kingdom. And it's such a privilege and such a wonderful thing to see this. And we're just going to have a look, as we said, through what happened at this time with the apostles. As I was saying, that it's a time when they are looking at God and the Holy Spirit actually working through them. And the apostles are performing so many miracles. It says that they performed many signs and wonders. And one commentary I was reading was expounding on that, saying that, you know, many signs and wonders it would have been, because that word, when it's expounded, it says many signs and wonders, would be talking about a situation where there are numerous signs and wonders amongst the people of various kinds. So it wasn't just one type of miracle, but it was many different types of miracles that they would be seeing at that time. So it was a time when God was really starting to put them in the ministry that Jesus was in while He was with them. So they've moved from a time when they were maybe a bit timid before Jesus left, to the time they've waited for the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit has come upon them, given them authority and power, and they are now coming out and really seeing God moving and changing lives, changing situations, breaking some chains in the same way as Jesus did. But it's funny that there are two things happened. One thing is that there was some fear amongst the people in the local area. So on one hand, there were people who were a little bit, I speculate, they were freaked out. Who? What is this? Because although God had been there doing miracles before, Jesus was mainly the person that they'd seen who was doing so many miracles. They hadn't seen something of this magnitude where, you know, there was such a big change. And so many people, it says, were coming from, you know, from within the city and perhaps the neighboring city as well, coming and bringing their sick, and they were being healed. And so there were people who were quite scared about what was going on, maybe some intimidation. But then at the same time, it says that the Lord was adding to them such as were being saved. So there were people who were still being touched by what God was doing, being touched by the teachings that they were giving, and then coming to Christ. So there's people who are scared. There's people who are as scared as they were. I concluded then that it was sort of a reverence. Much like sometimes we see it today, when we find that when God starts moving and doing something that we're not used to, it produces different results from different people. Sometimes we get a little bit scared when we come into an area where the presence of God is saturated. Why do we do that? I think it is just a healthy reverence for the presence of God and what God is doing. So there was a reverence of the presence of God and what God was doing. It wasn't a hatred for the most part, but it was an, I don't want to use the word awe, but they were in awe. It was awesome. Yes, that's the word. It was awesome. And sometimes awesome is a little bit terrifying. So there was that. But we find that in times like that, it wasn't only just that everybody would be awed and that everybody would revere. Remember that this time, there was a lot of people who were still practicing Jews. And to them, they didn't understand this new concept that was being brought in. Jesus is the Christ. And so to them, they would have been thinking, okay, you know what? We don't really understand what's going on. These people are here working their magic. And they're preaching blasphemy. And what they're doing, we don't understand. But I translated, what does this mean for us today? As much as it was that they were here, being in one accord, being in a place where God wanted them to be, doing what God wanted them to do, it also means that the devil wasn't happy. It was a time when the powers of the area or the powers of this world would have thought that they have killed Jesus. He had died. But then he rose again. And now it was a new awakening. They had now realized that the power they thought they had when they had crucified him, they didn't actually have it. It wasn't in their grasp. Now they had been defeated. And now there was chaos in their ranks, chaos in their kingdom. They were losing touch. They were losing the grip that they had on the people just worshipping from without. Now people were worshipping from within. They had the law of God in their hearts. Now, you know, the Holy Spirit was in them. And they were changing situations. And God's movement, God's kingdom was now being built. And boundaries had been shifted. And now there was a lot of opposition. Of course, they would have been sitting there thinking, now what can we do? What can we do? What can we do? So now, how does that translate? Sometimes the devil can attack people from without. The enemy comes from outside your ranks and tries to disturb you from outside where you can see it. Like maybe Goliath. You know, he's over there on the hill and he's hurling insults. But sometimes, and especially more times, he works from within the ranks. Sowing confusion, sowing discord, sowing this so that other people can be the ones, the people amongst them can be the ones to sow discord. Why am I saying that? I remember the time, it's in Matthew 16:23. Jesus is telling the disciples how he is going to get persecuted and killed and then rise up again in 3 days. And Peter, he loves him so much. He pulls him to the side and rebukes him. No, Master. That will never happen. And what did he say? Oh, you really love me so much. You know what? I see your heart. He said, get thee behind me, Satan. Was he addressing Peter? Was Peter a devil? No, Peter was not a devil. Peter was his friend. Who was he talking to? He was addressing the devil that had been using Peter to try and sow some doubt in him. To say, well, you know what? You don't really have to go through that. You don't have to. You don't need to do that. You know. So now, instead of having him doubt, he realizes that this person is being used. So he addresses the person behind the person. I don't know if it makes any sense. He was addressing the devil behind Peter. So, in the same way, as the disciples were doing this great work, things were shifting. Their motive was to follow their master's steps. Jesus had come. He had done mighty things, but he had also suffered a lot. It was even foretold in Isaiah that he would suffer a lot for our sake. And now, the ones who would then follow, if we were to be heirs, and if they were to be heirs with him, if they were to be dead to their old way and rise up in the new covenant, they would also share not only his glory, but also his suffering. So now, if they were going to share his suffering, this is why he is warning them in advance. No servant is greater than his master. If they hated me, they are not going to love you. So it was a very kind warning. You know, it's good to be forewarned because then you know what to expect. So in other words, it's saying, don't let this take you by surprise. Don't say, oh, I didn't sign up for this. You know, I thought that this is supposed to be a gospel of peace. Why am I getting, you know, bad looks? Why am I starting to have all these people opposing me? Why are people quizzing me about my faith and saying that, you know, I'm like this and I'm like that? Why is that? But we were warned. And take heart. It's not all bad news. It is good news. Because we are sharing in something that is greater than any other generation in the history of Israel had ever been able to share. From that time up till now, there had never been an opportunity for people, not in a great scale, to be able to share with God as joint heirs, as brothers, and as children of God. So now they had a different covenant. They were now children of God rather than just being people of God. And they were sharing something great. And this is still our calling today, that we're sharing something great. So as I was saying, their motive was to follow in their master's footsteps as he commanded them. They were not warring against people. John 1:13 talks about people who were, as many as received him, he gave them the right to be sons and daughters of God. Those not born, or let me say, I'm paraphrasing, sorry. Those born of the spirit and not of the flesh. Or in another version it says, not born of the will of man. Not mere flesh. Not a human thing. So they did realize that they were not warring against people. The things that they were destroying and removing all those sicknesses and all these things were bringing glory to God. It wasn't scoring for men, it wasn't to give themselves some glory. They weren't getting popularity, and it wasn't for celebrity status and fame amongst themselves. Case in point, Ananias and Sapphira trying to gain some points, you know, saying, well, we sold a property and, you know, we've given all the money, when they could have just said, well, yeah, we've decided to give half. Why did they do that? They wanted to gain some fame so that they could be given the credit for having sold their entire property and give it to the church, when they'd actually only just sold half. So it wasn't because of any, because they could have kept the money. But the motive I present was to gain some fame so that people can say, oh, look at them, they're so amazing. They're just like everyone else. You know, look at those people there, they have given everything. They sold the whole property and they gave everything. So this was already there back then. And even amongst brothers who were spirit-filled, there was sometimes a moment where people slept a little bit, spiritually speaking, and allowed the devil to use them. And that was quite unfortunate in that sense, or in that case. But now we find in verse 17, the high priest and his company, some of whom were Sadducees, they were being used of the devil, see? Because they're not being led by the Spirit. Unfortunately, when we're not being led by the Spirit, we are actually walking in the flesh, and we are trying to serve God using intellect, trying to serve God using our mind, and trying to decipher the things of God with our mind. It doesn't work. And this is what was happening, I present. On this occasion, the high priest is looking at this thing and thinking, no, 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 no. It says that they were filled with jealousy. Now, where does jealousy come from? I wonder. They were filled with jealousy. And then, of course, they started to stir, or he started to stir some sort of insurrection. This is not right. We've got to do this. And I look at it and think, he was probably thinking, okay, you know what? The religious teachings that they're bringing are not the teachings that we've been following all along. This is one of those troublemakers who are coming here and trying to change the status quo. We are comfortable in our ranks. This is the way that we've been worshiping God, and it's been working. And I'm at the top, by the way. I'm right there. And these guys are trying to uproot where I am in my nice, comfortable position, and they want to uproot me. And therefore, I have to do something about it. Squash. Because this is not going to work. But you see, that kind of heart, the root of it comes from, not from the Spirit of God. So there was, unfortunately, some people being used, and the positions in the social structure or the political structure were being threatened. I'd imagine that's why, one of the reasons why they decide they needed to do this. So what did they do? They had them arrested and thrown in jail, in the public jail. So doing God's work, He promises us He will protect us. He will look after us. I want to expound on something today, or I want to present something today that says, you know, God promises He will not leave us alone. He will not forsake us. And He will protect us. But you see, saying that doesn't mean that we will not go through a valley sometimes. The secret is to go in the valley with Him and come out on the other side with Him. Why does He do that? I wonder. But some things come into mind. Luke 9:23 says, you know, talks about carrying your cross. He that would follow me, let him deny himself and carry his cross and follow me. So Jesus is talking about something where, you know, it's not a joyride all the time while you're on this side of eternity. There is joy in your heart. There is peace in my heart that the devil will never be able to take away. They can throw all sorts of things at me. They can throw all sorts of things at you. But your peace is not the peace of this world, which can be stolen by bad circumstances and situations. See, this is why he says, even though we come to a point where we suffer bereavement, he says, cry, but don't be like the hopeless. Don't be like those who don't have faith. Why? It's okay to cry. Yes, we are sad. But you see, there is something that is within us that still holds us, that anchors us, that holds us down. So that when we cry, we don't cry like the hopeless people. Why? Because we have a hope for tomorrow. We have a tomorrow that we know this is not the end. Okay? It's not the end. So, He's talking about denying ourselves and following, taking up our cross and follow Him. Now, so we have seasons. Anyway, what I wanted to say at this moment, before I run away with myself. Again, I remember Jesus saying, count it all joy when you encounter suffering and you're persecuted because of my name or for doing what is right. See, it's something. Another scripture again that's just coming into my mind is one that says, you know what? You have not encountered temptation that is greater than what you can handle. See, God sometimes will let us go through it, but it produces something. It makes us more mature. He goes in with us, as I said, so that it comes out. But then, see, it hurts. Pruning is never easy. And He was pruning them. There are so many things that happened in the Old Testament and many things that happened even now, in this case now, with the first beating, that when it was looked at in the flesh without actually looking at it from God's perspective, one would think, oh, why is this happening? Why did God allow that evil person to come here and persecute us and beat us and lock us up? But then the greater picture is God's business. This is the thing that he knows. Sometimes we don't see the tomorrow of something and we look at today and we think, oh no, surely if God was here, this wouldn't be happening. I wouldn't be in this situation. Why am I experiencing all these things right now? Because these guys could have easily said that when they were locked up in prison. They would have thought, but I thought that he died. I thought that he rose up. When he rose up, he promised us a whole lot of things. He told us we'd receive power from on high, you know. And we're in prison. With this mind, it didn't make any sense at all. You know, they knew the political scenario. They weren't unlearned. And they knew that it normally wouldn't end well, except that God would intervene in the situation. But praise God that they had their eye on the ball. They had their eye on Christ, and they still said, you know what? Just like Stephen, Meshach, and Abednego, even if God doesn't deliver me, I'd rather serve God than serve the purpose of men. So they went into the prison, and they didn't say, oh, do you have knowledge of how to unhinge the bars? You know, sometimes we find that we do that. Sorry, I seem to be preachy, 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 but this is what God gave me to say, so that's what I'm going to say. Sometimes you might think they might have got there and started, you know, some of them starting to say, oh, you know, guys, I'm not too sure about this, you know. I think it was okay after Jesus died. I should have just gone. Maybe I was better off. But they didn't say that. They still held on. And they still worshiped God, regardless. So sometimes not looking at the mountain, but looking at the Creator is actually the key, especially when we are faced with such a huge mountain in our path. Because I present that is what they did. And because they were looking at the Creator rather than all these other things, remember, this is where now the secret comes, the revelation knowledge, when Jesus says, not one hair on your head will be hurt. They've chucked me in prison. I'm still worshiping God. Look at what happened. What happens? They're in there, and an angel of the Lord came and freed them. Look at that. I wouldn't have thought of that. I wouldn't have ever thought that would happen. Ever. But it did happen. An angel of the Lord came and took them out. Now, today, I don't know what it is that arrests us today. I don't know what it is that threatens our growth, that holds us back. So many things in this world. Sometimes it's a human element. Sometimes it's a sickness. Sometimes it's negative criticism. Sometimes, you know, our way of life. Sometimes we're just lazy, really, you know. But the thing that assails us, the thing that tries to arrest us and remove us from these glorious promises that God has given us, if we did what they did at that time, just focus on the Creator, even if it's not looking good, it's not easy to do that. But I'm talking from experience. Trust me. I can raise my hand and say that. So, I'm not talking stories. I won't bore you with the stories right now, but it was good. It worked then, and God was faithful to them. What did the angel do? Freed them, told them, go back to your calling. To do what? To tell the people about this new life. What was the new life? It was the relationship with Christ. It was a new way of worshiping God, not from this mountain or that mountain, but in spirit and in truth. It was a new way of having a new relationship with Christ, not done through the outward things, but with the inward things. It was about looking at God and coming to God through Christ. And that was the thing. That was the big secret, see? Sometimes we come to God and we jump Jesus. See, if I don't have a relationship with Jesus, I don't have that relationship with Jesus. And then I go to God. It becomes difficult. But God is gracious because he always provides a way. And he always says, come. And sometimes he provides a way by that person that keeps telling you, back to basics, you know, my relationship with Jesus. Because then it unleashes a whole lot of things, see? No one can come to the Father except through the Son. And when we have come through the Son, then he gives us the Holy Spirit. And when he's given us the Holy Spirit, then we become quickened. And when we become quickened, when we go through the fire, when we go through the problems and we're persecuted, we can have joy. But if we're persecuted and our relationship with God isn't right, it hurts a lot more. This wasn't in the script. I don't know who it's for. Sorry. So the high priest calls the Sanhedrin. That's the assembly of the Israelite elders. They gather. They send the officers to go and fetch them. And they find that there's nothing. How did they get out? Everything is locked. The guards are there, but there's nobody. So they come back. Oh, again. They're gone. You know. But someone tells them, oh, they're over there in the same place where you arrested them the last time and you told them not to preach. That's where they are, doing what they do. So they get arrested again. This time, see how the carnal mind is thinking about the carnal things. They're thinking, well, we can't drag them because if we drag them, we'll start a riot. We'll get stoned. We'll get big problems. But even though they're affecting people, and they're affecting the local community in such a phenomenal way, we still need to go ahead with the plan. Grab them. Get them. Get them nicely, but get them all the same. And they got them. Very nice. Kindly, sir, please. You know how the police in this country do when they need to arrest you? They do it very nicely. Okay. Come on out of the country, this country. We're very lucky. But they did it in a very nice and fashionable way for the wrong reasons, but they did it in a very nice way. They brought them, they asked them the questions. You would have thought again that when they get asked the question, didn't we tell you not to preach? Never mind that we are so amazed about... why didn't someone ask, how did you get out of prison? No. Too preoccupied with the things that, you know, the material things. They were now thinking, these guys are making it worse, aren't they? They're going to make everybody think that we killed Jesus and they'll make us get blamed for it. Didn't we tell you not to preach about this name? Can't even say his name. About this person, this name. And what did they say? Oh, we're very sorry. No, they didn't say they were sorry. They told them the word of God. They applied what God said. They didn't make excuses. Sometimes, again, I've done it a few times myself. Are you a Christian, Marshall? Oh, no, I just go for the kids, you know. It's like, yeah. It's just for the kids. The wife, you know what it's like. You marry someone and they need you to come to church, so I just go for the family. No, I am a Christian. I believe in Christ. And if someone's not going to like me for it, that's fine. If they're going to say, oh, wow, you know, your religion is so backward and, oh, you know, you don't know life, you haven't experienced anything. That's why you believe in God. I say, oh, fine, okay, no problem. I still love him all the same. He works for me. So they were not ashamed of the gospel. They still believed God, they still followed him, and they did not go back. So being flogged is not easy, it's not pleasant, but it's real and it hurts. But it brings something. Sometimes going through trouble brings something. So the only thing that they, you know, that they did was to never stop preaching about this name, that Jesus is Christ, and they kept on preaching it. I hope that there are some lessons. I was more like looking at the way how we can apply it and reflect on it, on how it affects us, while we look at their stories and draw some comparisons. I hope that it did help someone today. May God bless us and keep us focused on him. Amen.